Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and greetings, greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We're here not to encourage people to get down, but to turn around and look to the sky to say, who created these? You're now tuned into Blog Talk Radio, and we humbly assert we're the higher inner frequency. This is Soul Talk number 770, Healing, Prayer, and Art. What is the connection? Baruch Hashem blesses our eternal creator, shalom, peace, and bracha, blessing upon the entire human family condition. Our next broadcast is taking place right now with the creator's help on April 24th, 2022, live from Turtle Island, equals USA, equals AKA, equals Unified Soul Actualization. Subject to be discussed will be, what is the connection between healing, prayer, and the arts? And we're being joined right now. He's going to be coming in a few moments. Rambam teacher, student advocate, Dennis Ryan. And hopefully we'll be privy as well to be joined by our other co-host, native of Brooklyn, Robert Walker, a living example of a soul reaching for the stars while planting his consciousness firmly upon this blessed earth. Meanwhile, may the eternal creator bless and protect you and your blessed loved ones. Our call number, if you want to make the program slightly more organic, is 563-999-3688. That's 563-999-3688. Let's turn down the music from Achenu, meaning our brother, from the Maccabees, from their wonderful album called One Day More, Destination. And let's segue right out right now and get on with the show. And you should know that you're loved, blessed souls, because you should not be disappointed to know that you've been anointed with a Telem Elohim, which is no dream. Your divine image will help you get on scrimmage. And helping us to scrimmage out today's program, which I hopefully is going to start a lot of conversations all around the world, because our show is being broadcast all around the world. Just want to share with our co-host, Dennis Ryan, good morning, Dennis, or good early afternoon, that we have been increasing our broadcasting, Dennis, in two particular places of interest to me. Number one, there's been a big spike in Russia. 7.2% of our listening audience is coming from Russia, which is a troubled country right now. We've had also an uptick in listeners in Jamaica, which is probably due most specifically to my recent collaboration with Jerem Sojj Butler, who lives in the St. Andrews province in Jamaica. So how are you doing, sir? Dennis?
Hello, Dennis? Don. How are you?
Yeah. Hi. Could you
hello,
hear me?
Don. Sure.
Okay. Very good.
Can you hear me?
So, Dennis, just, I find it very interesting that in Russia, that's the biggest change. We've actually had a decrease in listenership in America, but an increase in Russia and in Jamaica. And also we've had an increase we've had an additional listenership in Ghana. We've always had someone in Morocco and in Somalia and India. We used to have Pakistan once in a while. The most of the northern Western Hemisphere, New York, America, Canada, and South America. So when we say about bringing this conversation to the coffee tables around the world, Dennis, we really mean it because the program is going around the world. So I thank you for your continued collaboration with our humble efforts. And I'd like to start off with – I'm sorry, Dennis.
Then we should say Dobre Utra.
And Slava Boga.
Good morning in Russian.
Okay, and also Slava Boga, which means Baruch Hashem, which blessed is our Creator. So Dennis, before we go, we want to talk about healing. The idea of healing has many different meanings to many different people. So before I offer my humble submission, when you think of healing, what do you think about?
Well, healing, we normally think we're applying a Band-Aid to our body. That's okay for the physical aspect. But what do we do for your noodle, your noggin, your head? All of a sudden, if you say you're getting headaches and you don't know what caused them, but you have a job or you do sports and you get banged around in the head a lot, how do we go ahead and define what's wrong with your head then?
Right.
In other words, we can't visibly see it. Is there machinery or medical equipment that will tell us the difference? Is it fear, or are we getting hit in the head too many times?
Well, actually, I do know from a book that I'm reading as part of my training in the social service agency, but I won't say the name because I can't say anything as I associate myself with this organization because I'm not speaking for the organization. I'm involved in a 6-7 month training ongoing with a trainer and also interacting with my colleagues regarding trauma-informed care and the body keeps the score. And one of the things that the author of this book, Dr. Bessel van der Kolk, who is in the front of this battle to try and increase awareness of how to create safe spaces for healing and involves prayer and meditation art. And he mentions that the technology, which has been advanced in the last 40 years in terms of brain imaging, they can identify what parts of the brain are functioning when a person is reliving a trauma, and what parts of the brain are overfunctioning to the exclusion of the frontal cortex, meaning the right and left brain processing. And, Dennis, we also now have Brooklyn native Robert Walker, a living example of reaching for the stars while planting his consciousness firmly upon this blessed earth. We came back from a family tour. Robert, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Okay, Robert. Yourself?
Not wonderful. Thank God. All is well. Thank you very much.
So, Robert, let me just quickly bring you into the conversation. We're talking about healing, and Dennis gave his viewpoint on healing. I haven't given mine yet. When you hear the word healing, how do you react, and how would you explain the process to our international audience, which you're coming in a little bit late, and we've had a spike in listenership in Jamaica and Russia. We're getting some African countries listening in, and we have the majority of the Western Hemisphere. That's America, Canada, South America, and Mexico. So, you know, if we're having a verbal cup of coffee with coffee tables around the world, how would you view healing, Robert?
Well, as I sip my coffee and answer the question, that's a multi-level question, because healing means different things to different people, and is also based on what the illness was, or what the trauma was, or, you know, things along those lines. So, but when I hear the word healing, it brings to mind a metamorphosis, in a sense, from one level to another level, from something that's maybe negative to positive, if you want to put it that way, just put it in some simplistic terms. It's hard to say in a sense. Well, let me say it like this: if I were putting it in spiritual, terms, the Bible says I give you, joy for ashes. You know, so you go from one level of something that is not working for you, something that is, it may be an illness, it may be a degenerative situation, to something that is progressive, positive, joyful, happy, and healthy. Healing means healthy, it's the road to health. And so it's just many different ways you can look at it based on the circumstance. Healing can be healing the soil when, we have a bad season of planting crops. Healing can mean that you have peace within your marriage. Healing can mean that you have peace within your body, not that you had an illness, but maybe psychologically you're not happy. So it has many different faces. And so these things need to be explored. And I think a lot of times, I think based on cultural differences, the path to healing may be different. So that's my answer.
Okay, good. So I'm going to come from a different perspective, because which is not in any way, shape, or form a contradiction to what you gentlemen just shared with myself and our international listening audience, based on a teaching of the Lubavitcher Rebbe according to the teachings of Chassidus. So two general levels of healing, and there are many nuanced approaches to these two general methods are, number one, there is the connection of food, which is a conduit by which the soul is drawn into the body. There has to be a healthy flow and a constant flow of human soul into the human body. But in order for that to be a constant flow, there has to be a conduit, and eating and drinking the proper foods, eventually some of that food and drink becomes the blood, and we know that blood is the vessel for the reception of the soul. And that's basically for basic living. And we take, unfortunately, the eating experience as human beings as something, well, I want to eat something delicious, I want to eat something maybe sugary, I want to eat something that's whatever, not so good for me because I want it. If we approach food, I think, not Aristotle, it was an ancient Greek, Hippocrates, maybe Dennis, you know, who was the one who said, let your food be your medicine? Who taught that?
That was part of the Hippocratic oath. Everything
right.
You put in your mouth.
Right. Then there's a more encompassing type of healing, which it has to be facilitated when the eating and digestion and integration of what we are, what we eat, and are what we drink, is through medications. And there I mentioned this is a more encompassing level of healing because we see that if we were to take, say, like an aspirin with the same volume as, say, like a hamburger, we'd probably rot our gut or other types of medications. So there's a type of healing where actually it's just the healing properties, which is basically facilitating, according to Hasidic teachings, the conduit for drawing, again, a healthy mixture of soul and body. And this is a more deeper level of healing, when the more superficial level of healing, which we normally don't assume, associate with, except we, like Dennis mentioned, if we're aware of the Hippocratic Oath from Hippocrates, that sometimes that is needed. Now, also there's the idea of, say, like vitamins, supplementation. And then there's a level of healing, again, another, I said two general ways, but here's a third level, where sometimes we have to call out to a person when they become unconscious to, say, like smelling salts, and we call out their name. Because the name of the person is connected as another means of conduit for drawing down the human soul into the body. It wasn't by chance that we're called this or we're called that, that there was something decreed on high that the parent should have that spiritual, intellectual, emotional insight to name a child after, say, like their ancestors or even after living relatives, depending on the culture. And these are just three general ways of healing. So let me just throw the microphone back to Dennis and then Robert for feedback on what I just shared.
Well,
Dennis?
The brain is the only part of the body that's encased in a skull. And it was a skull to protect our brain because it's so sensitive. So what happens when we get hit in the head too many times, too much vibration, too much loud music even for that reason, and it just goes on and on. But we don't have a cure for this. And you mentioned we have medical equipment that will tell you where in your brain there's a disturbance. But that doesn't tell you what the cause of the disturbance was. So one of the problems we have is we can't put a Band-Aid on the head. We can get a bump that's outside the skull. Fine, that's a skin condition. And it'd be an irritant or a bruise. But what do we do with concussion? Concussion is a nice thing. Is it caused by sports equipment? Is it caused by bombs falling all around your head, exploding? How much can the human brain take of what is not normal? So the normal condition is a skull protecting our brain. Now, if you want spiritual food, you must not have interference with that conduit of spiritual food. But if you keep bombarding your head with vibrations, noises, and whatever, it's not going to work out. So
Yes.
Can we differentiate the interference that you are causing physically to the brain
as compared to what spiritually the brain is for.
Robert?
Well, very good. And I'm going to go back to what you talked about, the different levels of healing. And, you know, what you said was very interesting about calling out to the person in their name, in their given name by their parents, as a way of connectivity from the soul to the person and the body and things of that nature. Healing, you know, there's spiritual healing. You know, all of us being men of God, we understand that there's something that we cannot see that God does, that God intervenes, even when the doctors will say no. And they say there's nothing more we can do. There's something more that we cannot see as humans. And I believe in my mind that that's the most powerful level of healing that exists, is what we cannot see, but is a vibration. It's almost like beating a drum. A drum is a vibration. I learned recently that there's an 808 drum. There are certain levels of beating a drum or beating a hi-hat or beating a cymbal, and those things send out different signals to the body. They reverberate it through the nervous system that bring certain levels of euphoria, whether you can listen to hardcore heavy metal music, and it'll make you want to jump around and go crazy. Then there's another level of it, of someone strumming the guitar, playing a folk song, that'll make you fall in love or relax your system. And someone will sing opera. That's a vibration. The vocal, you know, octaves are vibration. So you have Pavarotti, God rest him, who can sing on one level. Then you have Whitney Houston, God rest, who is all levels of vibration. And music and sound is medicine. These are all medicinal things, because the body is nothing but a set of nerves, you know, with organs wrapped inside. So, you know, it's like certain things. And for everybody, for every person, it would be different. There isn't a blanket approach to this at all, by the way, because every single person responds to something different. You come from one mom and you have five siblings, but this person likes steak. This person doesn't eat meat. This person is a vegan. This person likes, you know, it's like, how can you be from the ghetto and you like Pavarotti, you know, or Beethoven? Because it's an environment, but the energy is there. It's for everyone to absorb. And then we talk about, you know, natural healing, you know, herbs. Like they give out a lot of medications to people. You go to the doctor, they prescribe, you know, lipids and different things for the heart or different things for the brain. They'll take this. This will inspire this. But to every ill in the body, there is a natural cure that the earth has growing in it that will speak to that thing. Now, whether, you know, the pharmaceutical companies, the big pharma wants to, you know, make that true or not, we know better. Because, you know, remember now, we're going back to the days of Moses and these times. There were no hospitals. There were no big pharmaceutical companies. These guys lived over 100 years old. They lived hundreds of years, in according to the Bible. So how did they do that without a blood pressure machine or an EKG machine, you know, which, again, is measuring vibrations of the heart, rhythms. So, and then again, one of the things that I think, just to go off track for a moment, that kind of stop healing are the vibrations of television, of the phones, because information is also a vibration. And information based on what you're being exposed to can also, you know, help you to relive trauma that you've tried to, you know, digest and excrete from your system. But seeing something or watching something in heavy doses that is negative can you know, bring the trauma back to a place where you try to deplete it. So that's kind of, you know, there's a lot. I know I said a lot in that little piece there, but vibrations. And the earth in and of itself has a vibration. How do we know?
That's right.
Whatever you put into the ground at the right season, it grows. Every fruit or vegetable does not grow in every single season. You just can't throw a bunch of seeds in the ground. It is a time. Everything has a time. And it has to, and a location. And a condition that allows it to heal and grow. So that's what I have to say about that.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, part of the healing process, and this is something involved in trauma-informed care, and we'll be talking about a movie hopefully later on when we get to the art section about the connection between art, prayer, and healing, is that we're trying in our prayers, hopefully, aside from the goal of connecting with the one who spoke and everything came into being. If one has any questions who the Creator is, just look into the heaven and see the moon at night. And if you have a good telescope, look at the stars. And by day, you can see the sun. I mean, no human being could have possibly have created that, because how would they have been able to defy the laws of gravity? how would they have been able to defy the intense heat? I mean, I've learned recently that you get within a certain X amount of miles within the sun's sphere of influence out in outer space, and a person is absolute toast. We know if the sun goes out, within 8 minutes, this Earth will become the mustard seed of the creation will become a frozen iceberg. But prayer, and I'd like to utter a condensed version of a prayer that was penned by a Rabbi Nassen about 200 years ago, who was the top student of Rabbi Nachman of Breslev, that may mercies be filled up in a way that we ask you, Creator, that you desire to do good for others, and that for the sake of this, aside from the fact that you have created your world, your universe, that we are a part of, and you have created the heaven, and you've created the earth, and all the heavenly hosts, and all the upper worlds and the lower worlds, with the thousands upon thousands and tens upon tens of thousands of ministering angels, and there's no even way of calculating how many numbers of there are, in order that your godliness should be revealed in this world, in order that we merit in your abundant mercies to recognize in you, and in this lowly world, of course, compared to the ultimate one who spoke and everything came into being. For you are the one who does good and does good for others, and you are looking to do, and is your desire to do good from your goodness for upon us, and to see for us within your mercies and your grace, and therefore you have created your world with a good will, and may we, in order that we should merit to know and to recognize you and to graze upon the pleasantness of your splendor, that this is the great goodness that's in of all the goodness of the world, the true and eternal goodness is to stare upon your countenance. And there's no other good in this world at all in comparison to the goodness that you are the source of all the miracles and wonders that are done for our forefathers and are done for us and our ancestors. And you do it now with us in each and every hour and each and every moment and each and every second. And everything is for the sake of us realizing there's an absolute goodness in order that we should merit to know from you everything is. And this is the purpose of all the goodness in the world. Therefore, please have mercies upon us, Master of all, and establish your faithfulness and your nurturing within our hearts eternally, and satiate us from your goodness, and we merit to grasp upon again the pleasantness of your splendor, and to allow us and to help us with your great mercies, that we should know how to pray before you with our prayers, with all of our heart and all of our soul. And we should have the power by way of our prayers to change the nature of the world from a world where unfortunately there is hatred, jealousy, and competition, which is not needed. And we should witness miracles enclosed in nature, that the actual ultimate miracle is that which is in nature, where there's the elimination of hatred, jealousy, and competition, one human to another. And you should continually hear our prayers forever. I'll start with you, Robert. A prayer like this to engender within another human being a sense of safety, because we are in the place of the Creator. The Creator didn't make a space and then he occupies it, but where he is the source of all space that we are actually a part of.
Yes. I mean, to be perfectly honest, I mean, what I'm listening, and I'm listening in awe. I'm listening in awe to the words and to the formation of those words. And there isn't much I can add. I'm going to humble myself to that prayer and leave it where it is, and say that, just to simply say that God, the Creator, made all things for a purpose, all things with great wisdom, beyond the understanding of man. Man is not in his lifetime or his or her lifetime going to really ever understand the magnitude and the majesty of what God represents, and why he has done all he has done, why he has shared all he has shared, why he has made evident some things and kept some things to this day a complete secret. We have thousands and thousands upon the years since the Torah, since the Bible, since the Quran, however you worship, and there are still things that man cannot figure out. At best is a guesstimation to give himself comfort with his minute sense of intellect, and I use that word openly, that we are as ignorant today as we were maybe in some respect 5,000 years ago. And I say that because there's some questions that are age-old questions. We've improved dramatically in technology, so we believe, but there's some things that the great God has made a mystery, because he knows the heathen is even listening to all of what he's producing, and so that it can be kept a secret till the right time, till all things come together the way he wants it to be. And so we as human beings, you know, I think a lot of what's going on around us, Don, someone said to me today when I was leaving the house that the world is in such a traumatic place. You know, there's so much hate and murder and turmoil and so much violence and so much vile behavior and so much unforgiveness and so much, I hate this person, I hate that black guy, I hate that Jewish guy, I hate that Asian guy. And I said, well, if you close your eyes, what color is that guy? Close your eyes. What color is that guy? Put your hand on his shoulder. What color is that guy? You don't know who you hate. You don't even know, because you don't know how to love. And see, right. so there can be no healing in this unless there's love. And then if you're not taught how to love, then how do you hate? I hate that person. How do you know how to love that person? And so we haven't been introduced to our true selves and our true nature. Our true nature, God said, let us make man in our image. Let us make man like us. God created us in love. So everything beyond that that we are creating around the world is not of God. It is of a worldly design, and it's not serving us well. And even those who have economic power, economic freedom, say, why would a person with all this money and all this prestige kill themselves? Why would they commit suicide? Why would they be so angry? Mm-hmm. Why would they be violent? Mm-hmm. Because they still mm-hmm. have not been introduced to their true nature, which is love. And they may believe that consuming or being a consumer of things, or, you know, purchasing the latest bag, shoes, house, car, going on, you know, going to, you know, Bora Bora, wherever they want to go, that's some kind right. of going to change how they feel about themselves and how they feel about society. And it is a complete contradiction. I end on this note for this particular segment that God created the garden and he placed Adam in it, according to the Torah, if I'm correct. And so our natural surrounding is a place, it's supposed to be a place of beauty. But if you look around, we don't see that magnified in our, you know, we live in a concrete jungle in New York City, and most places are building and building and building with no regard for nature. So the natural mm-hmm. power of nature is being overrun by man's desire to monetize and create things that will not serve him down the stretch. They're not taking care of the earth. They're taking care of their egos. They're taking care of their vanity. And as you know, as it's said in the book of Ecclesiastes, all is vanity. It's not for God. If today were your last day and you came home and God said, well done, what did you do specifically for me? What would the answer be? What would the answer be? Not for your wife, not your kids, because, yeah, you love your wife, you love your kids, your mom, your dad. Those are nice things. But what if God said, what did you do in the last 50, 60, 70, 80 years specifically for me? What would that answer be? And that's one I want, you know, our listeners to just kind of meditate on this Sunday morning, that we have to get to a place where we love each other. We know what love is, but we put God Amen. First so God can God can show us what love is. Unless you are with the Creator and connected, you cannot know love.
That's Amen. Before Dennis chimes in, I just wanted to make a mention about disregarding the earth. If we disregard the earth, yes, we are human beings coming from original man and woman, but original man and woman came from the earth. So the ultimate ancestor of the human family condition is the earth. To disregard the
yes.
earth is to disregard our ancient ancestor. Dennis, you've been praying longer than Robert and I have been, by probably more than a decade. I mean, maybe by Robert 2 decades, but me probably a decade and a half. So what would you say? Do we just emphasize prayer is to connect with God, or should we also promote the idea prayer is connected to creating that safe space and facilitating healing at whatever level it needs for each individual?
Well, the first thing that hit me that both of you were talking about goes back to what is called Genesis, how it all began and how it was explained. There was a man in the 3rd century that said that if you don't understand Genesis, you're going to have a hard time believing all the updates of the earth, because in that it explains why there is evil and there is good at the beginning, and that's what Genesis stands for. So we must take that into consideration. The rules that were established as to why we were put on earth, we have multiplied. And I want to thank you, Robert, for bringing an update to everything that's been going on. However, this has started at the beginning, and nothing has changed Genesis put it all together. We must. And the thing that always gets me is the word see. You can see and look, but there's another meaning to the verb see, and that is to understand. So it's not just a question of what you see, but do you understand? A lot of people have a hard time understanding because they have a problem in seeing things. That's why when you go to a neurologist, he may hold up his hand and ask you, how many fingers do you see? Is he really asking you, do your eyes work? Or does your brain understand how many fingers are up? So the connection between our living and understanding is a deep connection that goes back to the beginning. And we cannot lose sight of this. If we do, we get distracted with the extremes that humans do today. But humans are extreme to begin with. But we must understand.
Thank you, Dennis. As we zoom into the second half of today's presentation, which I'm very happy we're engaging in this conversation. Last but not least, art. Now, I'm looking at some definitions here off of my phone, and the way it's defined in one place is art is a highly diverse range of human activities. So we shouldn't be in shock when human activities are very diverse, especially when engaged in creating visual, auditory, or performed artifacts that reflects the author's imaginative or technical skill and are intended to be appreciated for their beauty or emotional power, and I also say intellectual insight. And for some, also, it could be some form of Ruach HaKodesh, of divine inspiration. So the question is this, and I'll turn, I guess, to Dennis first. Art has always been with us, and we see that many, many great lasting pieces of art are connected to spirituality. Why do you think that is, Dennis, that the Michelangelos and the Da Vinci's, and other great, and I'm not so well versed in the names of artists, but why is it that the spiritual presentations of their understanding of, say, biblical narratives or other narratives seem to be lasting very long in human cultures from going way back to this present day?
Well, it goes back to the understanding. And the understanding is that if you're looking for perfection, you're looking for the highest level of spirituality there is. And the art and the objects and other things are pointed in that direction. So does your mind go there? Or are you going to look at a painting as though it's oil put on canvas? Or is it the understanding as that what idea are you trying to get across by putting oils on canvas? Same thing with sculptures. The beauty. Beauty is spirituality. And what happens is you can look at a piece of sculpture and say, wow, that's really interesting. Means that you're trying to understand it. But if you look at it as though they were two sticks of wood put together, you would say, who needs that? But if those sticks happen to be a cross, does that represent something that your mind can understand?
Thank you, Dennis. Dennis, Robert and I had an extended conversation this past Thursday afternoon, and I'd like Robert to share with our international audience about how art and his he'll go into detail about sneaker painting has been a part and parcel of his wellness conditioning. Robert, we'd like to go into the history of how you got into your artful endeavors, and also you certainly have the chance as well, either now at the end of the show, to promote your website for your artistic endeavors.
Okay. Well, thank you, first of all. And Dennis, your answer was spot on. Art, this morning I woke up, I had several thoughts on my mind. One of the thoughts was everything I create, I create with all things created by the Creator. I create with all things. All the tools that I have internally and externally come from from Yahshua, Yahweh God. And so there is he didn't give man a paintbrush, but he gave him a tree. He gave him all the things that you needed to make, all the tools that you need to create the messages and the imagery that he wanted to share with the world. He said, I'm going to endow you with the understanding to create things that are going to help to propel my message forward for ages to come. So although you are, some people create for self-aggrandizement and want the world to see, look how magnificent I am, look how well I can paint. It's God's energy working through you. It's his voice and his spirit and his intention working through you, your hands, your eyes. Just off topic, just for a second, there was a guy, I can't remember his name, but on the next show, I'll try to bring it back to you, Don, but the guy was a magnificent artist, magnificent, and he got into a car accident, and he lost usage of his legs. He was paralyzed from his waist down. And everyone said, well, I guess his career is over. He might have been in his late 40s, maybe 50 at the time, and most people would have just given up and said, you know, this is it. What he began to do was, because he couldn't do the pieces that he used to do, because they were like huge pieces of art, he began to make the same pieces in tile form. He would create a tile at a time, and then he would have them placed together to make a larger piece of art. So he didn't. So when one thing failed him, when his legs failed, he used his mind. His mind kicked in and said, "I can still do the same thing, but just in a different way." And so they said the pieces that he did subsequent to his first part of his life were actually better than what he created when he had his legs. And
wow.
So so it goes to show you that when God's power is working through you and you give him the credit, not, you know, you make yourself a no reputation, that's for people to do, that's not for you to do. He will use you in ways that glorify him, and the message will live way beyond you. Like Michelangelo is way beyond because the message. So to your question about me, I grew up in a single parent home. I think I said it many times. And you know, my mother was very strict. I couldn't go out and play most of the time. So she says, listen, man, you're going to have to do something in the house. When the streetlights come on, I don't want you outside on the street. You can go as far as a step. So I had a pad, a sketch pad, a coloring book, and I would draw and paint and create things. And then when I got to my daycare center, my daycare center teacher, God rest the dead, Miss Priester realized that I had a little gift, but I was very rambunctious, and she allowed me to make things in the classroom using cutouts of magazines and pipe cleaners and glue. And fast forward many years later, I went to Art and Design High School, and I graduated Art and Design High School and went on to, you know, college and stuff like that. But the point is, I was painting sneakers back in the late 70s and the 80s, and everyone was laughing at me. They were like, why are you painting your sneakers? Why are you painting your jeans? Why are you painting your jacket? That looks ridiculous. And now, fast forward to 2022, and Nike is selling these sneakers for thousands of dollars. And my mom said to me, after you and I talked, I was talking to my mom about what I, you know, about that, and she says, I have the first pair of Reeboks that you painted in a box in the basement, and I remember, she says, you know, when you did that, I used to think it was a little bit nutty too, but then I realized, wow, you were onto something, and I wish you had succeeded, you know, in doing it, you know, but I said, well, it was just a prelude of things to come, and so I never stopped creating, and art has been my medicine. I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do anything that I'm not supposed to do as far as I know. God may know different. But I say to you that, you know, my wife may think different some days also. But, you know, I say this, that art has been medicinal for me. If you took away my ability to create, you would cripple me, because that is what I live and breathe. A pen and a paper is all I need. But if you give me extra, I can do more. I never needed to go out and buy a pad or a paper or certain things. I can look into a trash can and create something from what I see in the trash. That's how powerful the Creator is in my spirit. Like, he's gifted me with something that sometimes I have to get on my knees and go, wow, why'd you give this to me? You know, what do you want me to do with it? But everything that I create has the insignia of Christ or God. Or it's all spiritual. All my work is spiritual. All of it. I don't create anything that's not. I don't even really even think that way, to be honest with you. Maybe earlier in my career was different, but when I create now, so people will know when you look at my work that as a man of God created this work, and God will get the glory from it, and help, somehow it will restructure areas where there needs to be healing, as we discussed earlier in the broadcast. My art is for healing. It's for people to look at it and feel empowered and feel and love God and reconnect with God. And if you didn't think about God, then think about God. And if you don't know God, then maybe you'll know God through this work. and maybe you'll be introduced to him by even one line of something that I wrote on one of my paintings or one of my, you know, T-shirts or whatever. So what's missing, I'm going to say this and then I'm going to give it back to you, Don. We were having a conversation, a friend and I, he's from the LGBTQ community, and he shared a video with me that I think the CEO of Walt Disney made a video and said he apologized to the LGBTQ community, IA community, that there wasn't enough of that type of programming on Disney. And he said to me, "Well, what are your thoughts?" And I said, "Well, I said before I answer your question, what are your thoughts?" And he goes, "Well, as a gay man, and you know," he says, "I think it's wrong that programming is being introduced to children that can't make up, that are not in the place to make up their own minds. You shouldn't, that should be an older conversation. It shouldn't be introduced so early." I said, "Then why do you think that a major broadcast network would do that?" And he says, "Well, I can only think that they want to, you know, to instruct them, to guide them early, to have this, to accept things that they want them to accept." So I said, as a gay man, how do you think? He said, "No, I think it's wrong." And this is coming from someone that's openly gay. And I said, "Well, but why if a straight person were to say that, people would be infuriated." He says, "Well," he says, "in that community," he said, "there's so much turmoil that it's not what people think it is on the outside, you know, and there's so much more going on." So I say to say that art can be used several different ways. The devil can use art as well, and he has been using art. Art is music. Art is movie. Art is fashion. Anything that sends a message, that sends an impression, you could be baking cookies. That's an art as well. So you have to be very careful that we don't dismiss any level of how the enemy will use his power to devalue God's word. But we do know that through the Torah and through the Bible and through all the other religious documents that God's word is sovereign, so it cannot be denounced no matter how hard they try. But they're doing a very good job of distracting people from what pure and clean and spiritual art looks like. And so when you remove prayer from school, you remove certain things from school, but then you replace it with things that are not holy and godly, then you create a society where it's, you say, "Oh, there's so much violence, there's so much turmoil." But as Dennis said, it's been this way from the very beginning. But I think we are responsible for what we do with ourselves. We can say this is a system, but what you and I and Dennis are having this conversation, because we're having an uplifting conversation. We're having a progressive conversation. So we have the power to shift things if we do the right thing. It won't shift on its own.
Amen.
That's it.
Dennis, your take on these matters.
Well, once again, we're getting back to the see and understanding concept. If you do it at different ages, it means different things. In other words, when you're first born, we don't expect you to understand. We're happy that you can see and use your eyes. But as you get older, we expect you to gain some wisdom and be able to handle the concept of things you're looking at and to understand them. Now, it's different if you're a teenager and you're 80 years old. It's on a completely different plane. We cannot say it's interchangeable no matter what age you are. So we must understand that we are mortal and that we cannot live forever. So therefore, we have a limited time here, and you better use it to the best of your ability. So when people actually do art in some way, shape, or form, I'm always reminded of the Aramaic expression, and that is, I just forgot it for a second. Abracadabra. That means I create as I speak, or I speak and I create, depending if you want to go backwards or forwards, because in those days, that's how language was put together. So you have the capability of using your free will, but why do humans always want to pick the bad side of the things that are in their world. The freedom to do that. We haven't been able to understand why people pick up on negative ideas when they should be emphasizing positive. But that's the world of free will. And that makes humans, us mortals, very what we call fickle. In other words, one day we like this, the next day we don't.
Right.
So where is the consistency? Because people keep changing. In other words, sometimes people accept war. Other times people say, oh, that's a terrible thing. But we actually have people on both sides of the war saying, help me, so I can do bad to the other side. They're praying
Dennis
to the same entity.
Dennis, may I ask you a question, please?
Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, sure. Do you think, I'm sorry, Doc, do you think that do you think that we're being led this way? I mean, because as you said, we have free will. But if you take into consideration the outlets of communication that are at our disposal, TV, radio, media, cell phone, which were not available, you know, to us when we were the age, you know, we were young people, we didn't have these things available.
All right.
Now they are.
Let me cut you short, if I may, Robert. When
yes,
you
please,
want
please.
To go, when you, if your free will can go with the good side or the bad side, humans
yes,
being fickle, they sometimes jump to either side. We don't
yes,
know
sir.
Why, but they do it on a consistent basis. And they've
mm-hmm.
done this throughout our history, and we're trying to always say, why do we repeat history? Why? Because that decision-making of the free will goes on and on and on. And people don't understand. They can see what they want, but do they really understand what they want?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, sir. That's right. Well,
Go ahead, Robert.
You said, Dennis, to see, you know, seeing is understanding. So someone says, I see. So you can see with your physical eyes. But I believe, and this is just my personal opinion or, you know, perspective, is that your spiritual eyes are the eyes that you must see with in order to serve God. It said, you know, God says, if you worship me, you must worship me in spirit and in truth. So that means there can be no guile in your mouth. There can be no falsehood in you. You must. No matter, even if the person that you're telling the truth to does not like it, you know, it's like taking medicine. It's like, I don't want to take this medicine, but it's going to cure you, or as Don said in the beginning of the conversation, healing. If it's going to heal you, then it must be revealed to you. And I believe that men and women of this time are relenting to material things. They've given up on God because they've given up on their ability to wait on God. They don't want to wait. They want it all now. And they don't understand that Moses, in all of his goodness, God gave him 120 years, and the Bible says his eyes were undimmed. That means he was in full power when he went back to God. Most of us are not going to live past 70, 80, 90 is a high point for this for humans at this point. So you're going to spend more of your time on the eternal side than this temporal side. So why isn't man more conditioned to understand that I should give more of my attention to those things that which are eternal instead of carnal? Like, you know, they jump from side to side, but just, yes.
Thank you for presenting the problems of mortals on Earth. And that will go on.
Yes.
Gentlemen,
yes.
I'd like to interject with.
The one thing that we all know is that we are sentient beings. That is, we have feelings. We have feelings because we have senses. Now, we do know that if one of your senses is not working correctly, your other senses are enhanced. Now, God does this. We don't know how. We don't know why. But that energy that humans have is redistributed into the other senses. So we have people who may be blind. All of a sudden, their hearing becomes super sensitive. That wouldn't have happened if their eyes were working. So we got to say that our Creator knew what he was doing.
Oh, yeah. That is for sure. Now, I'd like to interject one other aspect of, actually two other aspects, which we haven't really touched upon today, but the art of music, which actually I've been engaging with a program or two with Jerome Sage from the St. Andrews province in Jamaica, but cinema, the movie making. And I cut and paste into today's promotion a video going back to 1946. I told Robert about it, and Dennis is aware about it already. It's called Let There Be Light, which is interesting because that's going back to Genesis again. But this was a video or a cinema presentation that was put together by John Houston, who is a well-known individual in the field of cinema. And it was basically, for the first time, Houston was exploring the diagnosis and treatment of what used to be called battle fatigue or shell shock among returning servicemen from then after World War II. Today we would call PTSD, thanks to the work that was done by individuals like Dr. Van der Kolk, whose book, again, I highly recommend, The Body Keeps the Score, Brain, Mind, and Body, The Healing of Trauma. And the truth of the matter is, which is very shocking, but Dennis says it wasn't so shocking, that Let There Be Light, which was produced in 1946, wasn't released to the public for public consumption until 30 years later. And part of it could be because there might have been HIPAA violations, but HIPAA violations didn't really take manifest as enforceable law until 2005, so it might have been a personal code of ethics not to reveal the names of the soldiers. In fact, during the presentation, which again, it's only a 59-minute presentation, which I recommend to everyone. You can just go to YouTube, Let There Be Light, 1946. And the one thing, though, the theme that runs through it, is though the treatment modalities are much more different today. I don't know how many people go for treatment of by hypnosis, but they talked about creating, again, that sense of a safe space in the process of recovery from a soldier, a World War II soldier, who experienced shell shock, or what we call PTSD today. And it's amazing that by the second part of the film, they show soldiers playing sports and getting involved in arts and crafts and making all sorts of something that you would sell on the market. And by the end of the X amount of weeks that these soldiers were in a military base, military medical base, that they walked out and they had smiles on their faces. People that were stuttering were no longer stuttering. Of course, we don't know what happened in the years that followed. There could be a revisiting, because one of the insidious points of trauma and the focus on healing is there has to be a constant diligence on the part of the person who's the recipient of the trauma experience. Now, my mother, may she be well, she had a cousin who, in fact, got too close to an exploding bomb, and for the rest of his living years, as far as my mother was aware, he was like a walking vegetable. And they didn't apply these way to facilitate, or it could have been that his body was resonating with the vibrations that Robert talked about. There's such a loud explosion that it made indelible damage on his brain. But today with brain plasticity, there could have been more options. So I'm going to turn the microphone back to Dennis. Dennis, you said you've been a follower of this process of healing or the lack of because of social forces. Any commentary on this idea that there were already by 1946, which is now, 75, 76 years ago, we're already implementing spaces to promote in the minds of the recipients of the trauma treatment at the medical military facility to bring about a healing. Your comments on these matters.
What happens is you've got to have a clear mind to have understanding. You must have a clear mind, or else your understanding is going to be interfered with. We don't know how much interference the outside world does to the brain. It could be music, it could be vibrations, it could be explosions. We have to be able to handle it and understand it. And the thing of Let There Be Light is really enlightenment. In other words, we want to open up your mind so you can better understand. So the whole idea of Let There Be Light, it also implies that there's spiritual light here that we may have forgotten about, because your lack of understanding has not been extended. So therefore, over the years, we have found out more and more about the brain. We are still finding out more and more about the brain, but do we really understand? So right now, it's a lot of guesswork, it's a lot of supposition, and we're trying to get the definition of things squared away.
Robert, your final comment, and please plug your website so people can access your artistic endeavors.
Okay. Really quickly, so I believe what Dennis said is correct. I think, you know, we're learning more on a daily basis, but we also have to take into consideration that God is also monitoring our human behavior. He's monitoring the global behavior. He knows who's in charge, who's not in charge, and what they're doing with information. And so he also intercedes when he knows that man's ability to obey him is not in sync. Now, some people, of course, most people would be like, well, God would not do that. But of course he would. He is about his business, not about this temporal stuff. Now, so we go back to, you know, 1946, let there be light, as Dennis said so eloquently, that when I read Genesis and God says, let there be light, I look at it the same way. I go, you know, let there be light of understanding. Let darkness in your mind and your spirit and in all of what I'm creating, you know, dissipate, and let my power shine through you, in you, and around you, so my will be done. And so when we exercise that level of understanding and thinking, then God can make things that seem that have been a mystery our entire existence to be figured out in 3 seconds. I think there are things that God wants to give to man, but what does man want to give to God in return? And when we uh-huh. use the power that he's given us, will we use the power? Because we have, Jesus said in his word, he says, greater things than this you will see. So when I leave, you know, that's when the disciples began to heal people. When he was here, they couldn't do it. And when he was gone, you know, Peter, you know, had the guy at the gate called Beautiful, and he made the guy walk because he had the internal power. So we have to go back. This is, for me, everything that a man is allowed to do is allowed to do through the grace and the light of God. And when we don't give him all the glory and lean on him, he will frustrate us. It's like looking at your greatest gifts through a plexiglass window. It's like you can see it, but you can't touch it. It's like, well, God, we're right there. We're in the precipice of change. And he goes, why can't we change it? Well, because what you're going to do with it still does not magnify what my intentions are for the greater good of this particular thing. And so scientists would disagree, but I think most people, I think the Rebbe might agree with this, you know, God, you know, God bless, that these things, it's all about God. Now, most people would argue that it's not, but we as men of God know that it has to be that way. And some of the most simplistic things that we could be solving are not being solved because as a global community, we're fighting about things that we should not be. Men should not be hungry. Men should not be homeless. People should get That's medical right. attention. So if they could do some of these things, they would charge an exuberant amount of money to poor people. Poor people wouldn't have access to the most beautiful medical breakthroughs. I had a friend that went to the doctor recently, and he and his wife paid $2,000 each cash to get a body scan, and because he makes great money. And $2,000, and you put them in this little machine, and they can read your entire body from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And I go, now, why isn't that available to just everybody? We're all humans. $2,000, and he found that there was something wrong with his heart, whatever it was. And I said, wow. I said, now, imagine how many people could be saved, how many soldiers could be saved, how many just everyday people could be saved if you just walked into a doctor and they treated us all the same way. But man would take, they would covet this material, they would covet this knowledge, and because of that, unfortunately, they say, well, if the rich won't share it, then we all go together. That's it. You know, since you won't share with the poor, since you don't have intention of sharing with who you consider to be poor, and people are poor because you made them poor because you locked the doors on them and don't let them in. And so I believe God is in control. I always believe that. Thy kingdom Amen. Come, thy will be done. That's it. So that's all, Don.
Well, Robert, also, please, what is your website that people can access your artistic endeavors and hopefully to partner with you to expand your artistic endeavors?
Well, I took my website down. I'm doing repairs on it, but I do have an Instagram page, and that is Rob Walker Studio on Instagram. Rob Walker Studio on Instagram. And I have two children's books. They are, if you look for my name, it's Rob D. Walker as an author, Rob D. Walker. And that's Mama Says and Once Upon a Cloud. Those are two books. If you go on Amazon, you'll see both books. So I have more work coming down the pipeline. I just finished two or three more books. I hope to release soon independently. And my website will be back up in about a month once I complete the repairs on it. But in the meantime, if you want to reach me, Rob Walker Studio on Instagram.
Okay. Is there an email address that you feel safe to share with others if they want to contact you that way?
Absolutely. It's robwalkerbrooklyn@gmail.com. Robwalkerbrooklyn, the whole word Brooklyn spelled out, @gmail.com. Anybody interested in getting in contact with me about an event or art or anything of that nature, whatever it might be, just feel free to reach out.
Okay. I want to thank Robert Walker and, of course, our Rambam teacher, student advocate, Dennis Reinrich. Dennis, as we sign off, can you share something from the Rambam? This is, I think, the first program where you didn't actively share something from Moshe Ben Maimon.
He is always with us. And we don't sometimes distinguish between what is ordinary and extraordinary. He's done extraordinary things, but it makes sound ordinary. In other words, moderation in everything. And he was the sufferer of despair, who was had a serious head problem. And it took him a year to recover. And he didn't have any medicine to take for that. He had to use his brain, his free will, on a positive basis.
And
for our Russian listeners, Das Vidanya.
Okay, thank you, Dennis. And this is Don Zuzigumin, your international local cyberspace Torah activist. We're going to end off with a song called The Artist by Ari Goldwag, which is sung in a cappella. He's using his voice as the only instrumentation for this lovely song. And it's about a forsaken splash of paint on an artist's canvas and how the artist is reminding that splash of paint that actually from you shall come the beauty of the entire vision that's coming from my heart to present this painting. So I hope everyone will enjoy this. In the meantime, too, let's all dedicate ourselves to Ahava Chad, one love, Gora Lechad, one destiny for all of us, Lukulanum, Badarchinom, Dakashom, the peasant, please, for away, and whatever we can do from the perspective of our thought, speech, and action, let's remove hatred and jealousy and competition from within ourselves and exemplify to others so the whole earth will ring out with songs of joy that we want the Creator to rule through the righteous Messiah, the Lion of Judah, who will roar out, Torah Chadasha, Mitetetse, dimensions of divine prophetic teachings which will inspire the world to bring us to that point, like Robert mentioned, to feed the hungry and heal the sick and make this world what it was meant to be, a garden of Eden, a garden of delights where we can delight in the knowledge of the Almighty. Take care, everyone. Oh.
Funny you don't know, hear music in places you don't even know they even exist, right? Huh? No, the show's over. No, it's not. But... I like this. I'm working on a...
Can you tell it?